Today's daf is Kuf Nun Vav. We'll begin on Kuf Nun Hey Amid Beis. And you'll see the Gemara will count up to the two dots. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 lines up before the end of the Amud. Mahalkitin Litarnagolim. The previous Mishnah established that you're allowed to force-feed the chickens, and that's not considered a tircha yisera and an uvda dechol. And then the Mishnah says, that's the most important part for us, nosnin mayim lemursan. Mursan is a kind of a bran, and you're allowed to add the water into the bran. But the Mishnah says, have a low govlin. You're not allowed to knead it. Because once you knead it, then you violate the malacha of Lisha. Omar Abaye, I'm Risa Kami Demar. I presented this in front of Rav Yosef, my Rebbe. And I asked him, Masnisin Mani, to whom can we attribute the authorship of our Mishnah? That you're allowed to pour water onto the bran, and it's not considered Lisha, as long as you didn't need it. V'yomar li, and my Rebbe answered me, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehudahi. The author of our Mishnah, the one who has this lenient position, is none other than Rabbi Yossi. This Sanya we learned in the Braisa. The Braisa opens up with the opinion of Rebbe. Rebbe is the Machmir here in this case. Echad nosein es hakemach, v'echad nosein l'socho mayim, ha'achron chay of divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says that if someone brings flour, that's Reuven, and then Shimon adds the water to the mixture, even though there was no kneading process done, and therefore he didn't form a thick dough, and you and I have seen, you know, pouring water onto flour, you know, a little bit of it attaches to each other, but it's not really a dough. And yet Rebbe says that the one who pours the water is Chayef. That's already considered Melechas Lisha. But Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Eino chayev achi gavel, until he kneads it together to form one entity. Lisha means to create one single entity out of two entities. One is a solid and one is a liquid. Together they form a dough substance. And Rabbi Yossi says that pouring the water in and of itself does not constitute a violation of Melechas Lisha in the absence of kneading, of the actual gibul. Gibul is kneading. Now, this is on a Doraisa level. We'll soon see that even Rabbi Yossi is going to be worried about a Darabonon. But now, on a Doraisa level, there's no violation of Meleches Lisha without Gibel. That's Rabbi Yossi's position. The Gemara says, well, how does Rabbi Yosef prove anything from this Braisa? Dilma Adkan Lokom Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Hasam. When did Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda maintain the position that pouring the water onto the flour is not considered Lisha? Ella Kemach, that's only in the case of flour. Debar gibulhu, because it's royal elisha. If you pour the water in and you knead it together, it will form a dough. And therefore, until you form the dough, you haven't really completed the melacha. Vol mursan, but in the case of bran, the la bar gibulhu, no matter how much you knead it, it really doesn't become a dough. Is maybe afilu Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda Moda, maybe the adding of the water itself is the clincher to Meleches Lisha. So it means that in every Melech we want to see when the labor is considered complete. In the case of Kemach, the labor and the creation is not considered complete until after Gibul. And that was Rabbi Yossi's position in the Braisa. But in the case of Mursan, there the best you could do is add the water, and kneading it together doesn't really add much. So maybe Rabbi Yossi would agree that in the case of Mursan, just simply Nesinas Mayim would be enough to violate Meleches Lisha. Lo Sakadaitoch, we cannot maintain that position. Desanya Behej, because we have an explicit Braisa that rules Ein Nosnin Mayim Lemursan Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe prohibits adding water into the bran. And Rabbi Yosef Yudomer Nosnin Mayim Lemursan, you're allowed to add the water into the bran. So we see that even in something that's called a lav bar gibul, nevertheless, nesinas mayim is not a violation of Meleches Lisha. Tana Rabbana, we learned in a braisa, ein govlim es hakoli. Koli is when you take a grain and you put it into the oven and you dry it and bake it, so to speak, in the oven, and then you make a flour out of it. Rashi says it gives you a very sweet kind of a mixture. Now, in the case of kali, you cannot do anything beyond adding the water. There's no gibel. And the Brisa records two opinions about adding the water onto kali. Yesh omrim govlin. According to one opinion, since this is not really gibel, when you pour water on this kali, it doesn't really form a dough. And therefore, even if you would go ahead and knead it, the kneading itself doesn't add anything, and therefore it's okay, it's mutter. And the Gemara asks, Man yesh omrim, to whom should we attribute this kula? Omer Rav Chisda, here we start the daf for today, that's Kuf Nun Vav Amud Aleph, Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda hi. Because Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda holds that in the case of Mursan that we discussed earlier, the brand where you added the water, you're not chayev, and you're allowed to add the water because it's an enovar gibul. Here too, in the case of keli, it's a lav bar gibul. It doesn't really form a solid dough. And therefore, we're going to allow you not only to add the water, but even to do the gibul. Now, wait a second. Rabbi Yossi only went so far, if you recall. He said that you're allowed to add the water. He never said that you're allowed to go the step further and knead it together. Here, we have a Yesh Omrim that is recorded in the Braisa that allows you, Govlin, in the case of Kelly, to even do the kneading process. So the Gemara answers, Hani Mili Hu Demeshani. The heter here to do gibul is only, it's conditional only if he does it with a shinui. He does it in a different kind of a way, unusual way. And this comes under the universal halacha in Hilchas Shabbos of kilachar yad, that you do something shalo kedarko, that's not considered a malacha. So here the Rabbanan prohibited the process of kneading, even though it's a lav bar gibel, even though at the end of the day you won't form and create any sort of a dough, but they made it conditional on the fact that you do it b'shinui. That's an isa d'rabbanon that requires a shinui. Hechi mishani, how do you make a change? Om Rav Chisda yidei al yad. In other words, you take a small amount that would fit into one handsful, and then you do the gibel, and then you take another handsful. So you keep taking a little bit of a snatch out of it. Vishavin. This is back to the Braisa that we said before that quotes two opinions as to whether or not you're allowed to do gibel in the case of Kelly. They all agree shebochashin es hashosis b'shabes. There's some concoction, some foodstuff that's called shosis, and it's also made from Kelly, as we said before, this kind of a bran that was baked in the oven. You add vinegar, and you add water, you add oil, you add salt, and you're allowed to mix this all together with a spoon because it doesn't create what's called an isa, a dough, as we discussed before. And therefore, by mixing it, he doesn't violate the malach of lisha. Veshosim zesom hamitzri. Zesom hamitzri is a gemara that we learned earlier that is a kind of a refuah. And it's made of a substance called karkom, and it has salt in it, and it has barley or wheat in it. This was all something that was discussed earlier. And we said that this is not a violation of refuah, because even healthy people will drink this concoction called zesam hamitzri. So it's not nikar, it's not obvious that he's doing it for the sake of therapy. So the Gemara asks, "Veha amrit ein govlin." How can you tell me bochashin as hashosis? Bochashin, when you mix it, that's a kind of a gibel. And we said that even in the case of a mixture of kelmach kali, the only condition that we're allowing to mix it is only if you do with a shinui. So in the case of bechishas shosis, and you tell me that that's mutter, isn't that a kind of a gibel? And we said that even the first opinion in the Braisa that allowed gibel in the case of Kelly, that was conditional on the fact that he did it with a shinui. So the Gemara answers, lo kasha ha bi'ava ha biraka. In the case of the previous brisa, when we were talking about mixing water and this kemach keli, that was a case where he formed a very solid kind of a dough. That's called blila ava. And that's much closer to Meleches Lisha, and therefore we have to be more machmir. But the brisa that allows bechishas shosis, that's beraka, that's only talking about a pourable batter. It's a liquid batter. And a liquid batter doesn't lend itself to Lisha at all. However, once again, that's all on a doraisa level. On a drabana level, in the case of bochashinas hashosis, we have to prohibit it, even though it's belila raka, it's a soft, pourable liquid batter, which is one step removed from lisha. But nevertheless, when he mixes it, in the case of belila raka, we're afraid, midrabanan, that maybe he'll come to mix it, even in the case of belila oven, a thick, doughy batter. Huh. So the Gemara answers, hani mili demishani. Here also in bechishas shosis, we need a fulfillment of the condition of shani. He has to make a shinui. Omer of Yosef Hechi Mishani Bechol, if it would have been a weekday, no senes hachometz, v'yakach no senes hashosis. That first he puts the vinegar into the bowl, and then he adds the kind of bran that we spoke about, this keli. And on Shabbos he has to do it the other way around. He has to change the sequence. No senes hashosis, v'yakach no senes hachometz. He'll add the vinegar last. Levi Breder of Huna Barchia Ashkeche Legabola de Bein Noshia. There was in the household of his father, there was a person that was in charge of watching the animals, feeding the animals, preparing their food, de Kagobil Vesafile Luture. And he took this bran for the animals and he added water into the bran, mixed it up. He did it with shinui, as we said before. If it's a case of blila ova, then we require ma'at ma'at, yad al yad, as we said before. And despite the fact that we saw in Rabbi Yossi that he allowed adding the water to the mursan and combining it with the bran, as long as you do it with shinui, nevertheless, Botash Bey Levi was upset with the shomer, and he protested, and he said, this is a violation of our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says, Ein Govlin, that we're not allowed to do the gibul, which is the kneading process, in the case of Mursan, when you mix water with bran. Osavua, so Rabbi Huna, the father of Levi, came along Ashkeche, and he saw that his son, Levi, was objecting, protesting to the fact that this Gavla de Beinashia was doing the Gibul. Omar Lei, so the father of Levi, that's Rav Huna Bar Chiya, said to Levi, Hachi Omar Avua de Imeich Mishmei de Rav. This is the tradition that we have in the family in the name of Rav. Umanu, and who is the maternal grandfather of Levi? Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba. Govlin, which means you're allowed to be Govil Mursan, Libehemos b'Shabbos, like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, as long as you do it with a shinui, and that's exactly what this person, this Gavla de Beinashu, was doing. Therefore, you should not protest against what he's doing. V'lo misapin, but we do have a principle that was transmitted through the generations, and that is that we don't force feed the animals on Shabbos. When you put it all the way down the animal's throat, if you just put it into the mouth of the animal and the animal does the swallowing, that's okay. Udolon lokit belishne, if you have a very young, let's say a calf, that is not capable of eating on its own, then mahalkitin le, we're allowed to force feed it even directly with our hands, because the animal is so young, it's not capable of eating on its own. Now let's get back to the beginning. What about allowing the Gavla de Beinashia to do this kneading process after he adds the water to the bran? Hani milu de mishane, he did a shinui. Hechi mishane, what was the shinui? Omar av yemar bar shlomia mishmei dabaye. When he mixed it together, and he picks up the stick, you know, the makel that he uses, he's got to do it shesivi orif. He's got to do it back and forth, up and down, horizontal and vertical in a strange way. V'hol delo mi'arev shapir. So the Gemara asks, if you do it in that way, very nice, it's a very radical shinui, it's very unusual, but nevertheless, it's not going to accomplish the goal, it's not really gibul. The shasis will not become the substance that he needs it. So the Gemara says, on Rabbi Yehuda, if he sees that it's not mixing properly, because he mixed it, you know, horizontally and vertically, is minaro lekli. He's actually allowed to pick up the utensil in which the shasis was prepared, with all its various ingredients, and he's allowed to shake it around in such a way that he makes sure that there's a good mixture. All this is a reflection of the shita Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, that you're allowed to be megabel mursan on Shabbos, as long as you do it with a shinui, and the shinui here that's necessary is to mix it in a very unusual way. And that's all as far as shasis is concerned, the gibul of shasis. And even though it's belila of, as we said before, it has a very thick kind of a dough, but nevertheless he does it with a shinui ma'at ma'at, he does it very small parts at a time, small segments. If on the other hand it's belila raka, which as we said was a liquid batter, which is one step removed, then everybody agrees that you can be bokeh shasis, and you don't have to worry about the shinui and require ma'at ma'at. Ksiv ha-pinkase de Ze'iri. Ze'iri, one of the great Amoroim, had a ledger, and they found written in the ledger, Omris Kadam Rebbe. He says, Ze'iri, that I told over Rebbe, to my Rebbe, Umano, who is his Rebbe, Rabbi Chia. Ma'ol Gabel. I asked him, are you allowed to do Gibel on Shabbos? Omer li Asur. Ma'ol Lefarek, are we allowed to take food, and we prepare it in a utensil for one animal, and then move it over for the other animal. Havir machal kli shel behemazu lekli shel chaverta. So even though the food in this utensil was designated for one animal, now I want to pour it into another utensil and give it to its second animal. Amar li muta. He said that's okay. Amar Rav Menashe chad kamei chad. You're allowed to put the amount, the volume of food that's necessary to feed this animal in front of the animal, trey kami trey, if you have two animals and you want to feed them, so you double it up and put it in the trough, shaper dummy, that's okay. But tlosa kami trey, if you want to take three volumes worth of food and there are only two animals, also, that's already tirchi yaseir, that's already not necessary. Rav Yosef Omar, there's no limit. You're allowed to put in front of the animal kav afil kabayim, Ulamar kur afilu kurayim. These are very exaggerated large measures and volumes, and once you're feeding the animal, you can put in front of the animal as much food as you want. There's no limit. So that's the ledger of Ze'iri. Now, Kosova Pinkose de Levi. We're going to read now the ledger of Levi. Amris Kadom Rebbe. I said in front of my Rebbe, Umanu, and who is my Rebbe, Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Levi was a disciple of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and he wrote in the name of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, describing those people, Davi Gavlin Shisa BeBavel, that Rebbe heard about the fact that in Bavel they had a tradition, which is based on Rabbi Yossi, that you're allowed to knead this Shisa mixture on Shabbos, Vavi Tzavich Rebbe. And Rebbe started, you know, getting ballistic about it. Umani, and who is his Rebbe? Rabbeinu HaKadosh. And why was he so upset? Al Dahavi Gavlin Shesisa. The Rabbanan would not allow him to mix this Shesisa, because it's very similar to Meleches Lisha. Even though technically it's not Gibel, but it's similar enough to Gibel that we should prohibit it. But Veles Shmiele. But Levi writes that no one followed the strict ruling of Rebbe. Les chayla bidei lemeisar, and Rebbe didn't have the punch, you know, the energy to prohibit it, because the minhag, the tradition, was already widespread. Midei Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, they followed the psak of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who says that mutar legabel shosis afilu bli losa of, as long as he does it with a shinui. Now we go on to a third ledger, and at this point, as an introduction, let me just say that we're going into what's called astrology. And one particular dimension of astrology is the day that you were born. Now, normally, when we talk about astrology in our times, you know, the zodiac and all that, we talk about the month in which you're born. The Gemara actually analyzes it based on the Pinkas of Rabbi Yeshua and Levi on the day in which you're born. Hayman de bechada b'Shabbos. I don't even know what day of the week I was born on. I suppose I could probably research that based on my tudat leida, my birth certificate. Anyway, if a person is born on a Sunday, Sunday is the beginning of creation. Yehi gvar velo chada be. Very ambiguous statement. He will be a man, a very good man, but he'll only be perfect in one particular attribute. He will not have a second attribute to boast about. So the oneness of the first day of the week means that he'll be a good guy. It's the beginning of creation, but he'll be limited to one great midah. My velochadbe, what do you mean that only one? Ilema velochad lativo, if you're telling me that he'll only have one specific attribute that's positive, Omar Ravashi, Ravashi testifies about himself, Ano bechad b'shabsav, was born on a Sunday. I was born on a Sunday, and yet I obviously have many, or he's not saying it in first person, but we could say it about Rav Ashi that he had many different great midos. El alav, but rather what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had in mind was chada levishu, that the person will have all good midos, whatever. He may have multiple good midos, but they're all for the benefit. They're all for the good. They're all positive. So, v'omer avashi ano v'dimi bar kozota. This is one of the famous mafiosos in his time. Havi and Chadab Shav, we were both born on Sunday. Ano melech, I'm a Talmud Chacham. That's called a melech, a king. For hu avi reish gadvi, he's the head of the track of Ganov, of the whole pack of Ganovin. So you see that Yom Rishon means you'll be at the top. Whatever it means, whether you be a top Torah scholar or lahavdil, you'll be a top thief. Ella, but rather what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had in mind about someone who's born on Sunday, ikul lativu, ikul levishu. Whatever midos he has, they'll either be to one extreme or the other. They'll all be good, or they'll all be bad. And according to one girsa in the Gemara, my taima de ivrubei or vechoshech, because both light, which symbolizes the righteous people, and choshech, the darkness, were both the Rishayim, they were both created on the first day of creation. Going on in the ledger of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Haiman de betray b'shab, so if he's born on a Monday, Yehi gvar ragzon, he'll be an angry person. He'll have a definite netiyah towards kas, and people are not going to be happy with it. My taima, what's so bad about Monday? We used to sing a song, Monday, Monday. What's wrong about Monday? Mishum d'afligu bei maya. Because on the second day of creation, God separated between the upper waters and the lower waters. And he's going to make a separation between the people who are born on Sunday and the rest of the people around, on Monday, excuse me, and the rest of the people around him, that separation, that avdolah. And nechleku elyonim v'tachtonim, and he's going to be an angry person. A kind of a grump, if you will. By the way, I'll mention the Marsha. I mean, I was going to wait with the Marsha to the end of this presentation, but the Marsha says that these are all inclinations, but a person could always overcome his natural inclinations, and that's his challenge in life. Haiman de betlosav shabbos, if he's born on a Tuesday, he gvar asir, he's going to be very rich. Vizanoyeh, but on the other hand, he's going to be an adulterer, a noif. Maitaimah, mishum de ibru be'asavim. The grass was created on the third day. Grass grows very quickly, and that indicates somebody who's going to get wealthy very quickly. All his investments will bring in great increments of money. But also, the asavim are what's called pritzas gader. There's a certain pritzas here, a breaking out of discipline, and that's therefore be a noev. Haiman de Abrabishavs, if he was born on a Wednesday, yehi gvar chachim v'noyer. He's going to be very wise, and he's going to have a beautiful, what we call hadras ponim, a countenance. My taimo bishum de itlu be ma'oros, because on the fourth day of creation, the ma'oros, meaning the great luminaries, were set in the sky, in the heavens, and Torah is described as light, v'torah or, that's a pasuk of Mishle, and therefore this, the fact that he was born on the day of the ma'oros, therefore he will have the light of Torah. Haiman de v'chamisha b'shabbos, if he's born on a Thursday, yigvar gomel chasodim, he'll be a magnanimous person. Haitaima mishum de ibru bei dogim v'ofos. On this day, the fish and the birds were created, and God shows a special chesed to these creatures, these species, because they don't have to work hard to get their mazon, and that's the chesed of Hashem. So that's Thursday, and a person born on Thursday will have an inclination towards chesed. Haiman de ma'ale shabbos, if he's born on a Friday. Friday, you know, is a hectic day when we're all busy running around for Shabbos. It's Yehei Gvar Chazron. He'll be a person who runs after something. Omer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, what is he running after? Chazron b'mitzvahs. He's running after doing mitzvahs. He wants to be Mekayim mitzvahs, just because Erev Shabbos, for Kovod Shabbos, we'll run around to try to do the mitzvah of Kovod Shabbos, to prepare for Shabbos. Haiman de b'shabso, if a person is born on Shabbos, and it means that there was some violation of the Shabbos during the course of his birth, as we learned in many, in great detail earlier in this Masechta, Yehi b'shabso yomus. What does it mean, yomus? Yomus is some sort of a death, maybe a premature death. Al de'achilu aloi yomer rabzo de Shabbos, because they violated the Shabbos on behalf of his birth, and therefore now he's going to die. Now Rashi says when it says b'Shabbos yomus, it means he's going to die on Shabbos. So it's very interesting, because very often Chazal say that if a person dies on the same day he's born, that's a good sign, a good omen. Here also it's a good omen. He needs an extra kapara because he was the cause, not consciously, of course, of violation of the Shabbos. His kapara will be when he dies on that same day on Shabbos. Omer Rabba Bar Bar Shila, Vekadisha Rabba Yiskere. The person who is born on Shabbos is called a Parush Vekadosh. He's a holy person. Why? Because describing the Shabbos, the Torah says, Vayikadshehu, God sanctified the Shabbos. So on the one hand, there's the negative side that he was the cause of Chil Shabbos. On the other hand, there's the positive side that he is sanctified, just like the Shabbos is sanctified. Omer Rab Chanina told his Talmidim, who read from the ledger of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Puku, v'imru leila bar livoy. You know, take it out. In other words, this is not something that we want to publicize. And he calls him Bar Levi because Rabbi Yeshua's father's name was Levi. So take out this Bar Levi. Lo mazel yom gorem el mazel shogorem. Now, we thought that Rabbi Chanina was going to tell us, throw out all the astrological calculations and predictions, but no, that's not what he's saying. He's saying that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi went about it in the wrong way. It's not the day that you're born on that will determine your astrological sign, but rather it depends upon the hour of the day in which you were born. And what does this mean? Mazel Shah Gorim, the hour of one's birth, that's what's going to impact on a person. Haiman de Bechama, he's born during the hour of the sun. In other words, when the sun comes up, Yehi Kvar Zivson. He'll have a beautiful appearance, meaning there'll be sort of sunlight coming out of his face. And not only that, but Yehi Avil Midalei Veshasi Midalei. He'll eat of his own and he'll drink of his own. This is all because the sun is totally independent, as opposed to the moon, which we'll speak about later on. Verizoi Galion. The sun is revealed to everyone. Anyone can see the sun. So this man will have no secrets. Everybody's going to know everything they have to know about him. Im Ganiv. Therefore, he will not be successful. Lo Matzliach. He won't be a great thief, because everybody's going to know about his thievery. It'll be an exposed secret. Haiman de Bekochav Noga. If a person is born during the hour of the planet Venus, Yehi Gvar Asir Vizanoi. He'll be a wealthy man, but in the area of adultery, he'll be in violation of my time up. What is it about Venus that generates this? Disyalid Bei Nura. Because there's a fire, and the fire of Venus represents the fire of passion, and that burns. Haiman de Bekochav, somebody who's born at the hour of Mercury, Yehi Gvar Nohir Vechachim. He'll be a radiant and wise man. Mishum de Safra de Chamahu. Mercury is the second in command, the companion of the sun. And therefore he gets a little bit of that radiance of the sun. Haiman de Belavana, but someone who was born during the hour of the moon, Yehi Gvar Sovil Marin. He's going to suffer afflictions because the moon constantly wanes away. Benoi v'sasir, on the other hand, he'll build and he'll break down because of the waning and the waxing of the moon. Sasir u'benoi. Achil delo delay, he'll be dependent on others for his food. Shasi delo delay, he'll be dependent on others for his beverages. Because the moon reflects the sun, and it's not an independent source of light. Verazoi Kasyon. However, on the other hand, he has this extra midah of secretness, of concealment, because the moon, for half the month, is concealed. And therefore, Imganav, if he decides to become a thief, Matzliach, he'll be successful, as opposed to someone who was born at the hour of the sun. Haiman Dibshavsoi, if he's born during the hour of Saturn, Yehei Gvir Machshavte Betelin. All his plans will be foiled. He will not be able to achieve any of his goals in life because Saturn has what we call Shabbos. Shabbos Shabsoi, the name itself, it means it's a process of ceasing. Is the Amri others say called him a Chashvin Ale Betelin? If people plot against him, their plots will come to naught. Haiman de Betzedek, he's born during the hour of Jupiter, Yehei Gvar Tzadkon. The word Tzedek, which is the name for Jupiter, means he'll be a person of Tzedek, of righteousness. Omer Rav Nachman, Bar Yitzhak V'Tzadkon B'Mitzvahs, he'll be exceptional with regard to the fulfillment of mitzvahs. And the conclusion of this whole presentation of Chanina is Haiman de Me'adam, if he's born during the hour of Mars, Yehei Gvar Oshid Doma. He'll be a blood spiller. Now, if you have an Atiyah by your birth at the hour of Mars to spill blood, what should you do with that? How do you overcome that? Omer Rav Ashi, I'umna, let it become a bloodletter, which again, that was a medical profession in those days for the health of a person. Iganva. Now, somehow, he might be able to become a thief. Itabcha imola, or he will yeshoched or moel. The thief here doesn't really fit into play because it seems that Rav Ashi was offering different suggestions about how to rechannel this inclination towards being a bloodletter. But in any event, I think what he means by a ganva here is someone who's willing to kill if he has to is for the sake of his gneva. Omar Rabba Anobim Madam Havoi. Rabbi says about himself, I was born during the hour of Mars. Again, how he knew that, I don't know. And yet I don't spill blood. So that's a kasha Rav Chanina. Omar Abaye, Mar, my master, Nami, Onish, Vikotil. You're also a killer. Why? because if you remember, we discussed about Rabbah, who's going to give the eulogy for Rabbah after he dies, because he was very harsh with the people in Bavel, and he gave them constantly Musar, and he punished them. So you're like a spiller of blood on a symbolic level. Itmar, Rabbi Chanina, Omer, Mazel, Machkim. In other words, Chachma is determined by the day or the hour on which you were born. Mazel, Mashir. And your financial situation will be determined by your hour of birth. But V'yesh Mazel B'Yisrael, and you should know that these astrological signs have an impact even over the Jewish people. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Omar ein mazel Israel. The Jewish nation is above mazel. So Rashi and Tosfos both agree that ein mazel Israel means that the astrological sign is not definite. It doesn't box you in. And if you do the right mitzvahs, and if you pray to Hashem, and you work on yourself, you're able to overcome your mazel. The Azda Rabbi Yochanan l'tameh, the Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Minayin Shein Mazel Yisrael. What's the source for the fact that a Jew could overcome his mazel? Ko Amar Hashem. He dashens it from a pasuk in Yirmiyahu Navi. So says Hashem. El Derech Hagoyim Al Tilmodu. Do not weigh in the measurement of the ways of the nation. Me'osos Hashamayim, and you should not Al Teichotu. Do not have fear over the signs up in the heavens. Ki echatu agoyim mehema. Let the nations of the world worry about those signs. We don't have to worry about them. The Afrav Sova Rav agrees with Rabbi Yochanan against Rabbi Chanina. Ein mazel Yisrael. We can overcome our mazel. Diom Rabbi Yudom Rav. Minayin shein mazel be Yisrael. From whence do we derive the conclusion that mazel is not a final determinant of the Jewish future of each individual? Shenemar, because, just one second, it says, Vayotze oso hachutza. When Avraham Avinu was worried whether he would have children or not, God had promised him a son, but he had doubts about it. Omar Avraham Lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Ben Basi, my Eved Eliezer, is Yoresh Osi, is he going to inherit me? Omar Lola, Ki Im, Bincha Asher Yetze Mimecha, you'll have a child. Omar Lefon of Avram said, Ribono Shalom, Nistakalti V'Tzagnina Shali, I checked out through the wisdom of the Zodiac. Vera Isi, what did I see? Any Roy Laholid Ben? I don't have the physical ability of having a child, because we'll see about the mazel of Avram Avinu. By birth, he could not have children. Amale, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, and the pasuk again says, Vayotze al tzohachutza, he took him outside, say, go out, me it's tagninus, shelcha. Remove yourself from the influence of the signs in heaven. She'ein mazel liYisrael, because a Jew can overcome his mazel. It's nothing definite. My daitcha, what did you see in terms of the time that you were born to Koy? Tzedek b'marov, right? That tzedek, as we spoke about before, Jupiter is in the west, and that's a very cold climate, and that coldness makes it impossible to have children. Says HaKadosh Baruch, don't worry, I'll take care of it. Madrina, I'll go back, umok minole, and I'll establish this star, the Mizrach, on the east, where there's heat. That's where the sun rises. And that's going to indicate that you can have children. That's what it means in the Pasuk in Yeshaya. Mi he'ir mi Mizrach tzedek yikra'eu l'ragla. Who caused Avraham Avinu that his mazel should be the heat of the east, that he should have children? And he called the Kochav tzedek, that it should come from the Mizrach, from the color goes from the west, and it got relocated on over to the east. Umi the Shmuel Nami, and now we have a story about Shmuel that also proves that Ein Mazel Yisrael. that a Jew can overcome his mazel through his Maisim Tovim. What was the story? The Shmuel Vav late. Shmuel was sitting Aviyasvi together with a wise astrological person from the Goyim. His name was Avleit. And a bunch of Jews were on their way towards the marshland to cut down the reeds. Avleit says to Shmuel, pointing to one of the Jews, and he says, "Hi, Gavra, this person, Ozil, he will go, Veloasi, he will not return. Why? Because Tarikle Chivya Umayis, he will be bitten by a snake and he will die." That's what the astrologer told Shmuel. Omale Shmuel, Ibar Yisrael hu Ozil Viasi. A Jew will go and he will come back because Ein Mazel be Yisrael. He will have Maisim Tovim and God will protect him. Adi Yosvi, as they were sitting, Ozil Viasi, the person went and he came back. Kom Avleit. Avleit must have been in shock because he had a prediction. Shadye Litune. And what he did was, this person was carrying reeds. He pushed aside the reeds. And what did he find hidden under the reeds? Ashkeche be chivya. He found a serpent that was underneath these reeds, this bundle of reeds. Deposik, and it was split. Ushdi vitarti guve. And it was separated into two pieces. In other words, when this Jew was cutting down the reeds, he didn't realize that he was also cutting a serpent. Amalei Shmuel, Shmuel turns to this person, he says, "My avdut, can you tell me what possibly could have been your schus that you killed the serpent that was sent, astrologically at least, to kill you?" Amalei, so the person said to Shmuel, that amongst our chabura, we have a certain custom, kol yoma, every day, have a Miraminon Rifta Bahari Hadodi. Every day, one of us collects a loaf of bread from each one of our group. These are the group of people that went out to the marshland to cut the reeds. And they would combine all the different loaves of bread into one basket, Vachlinon, and then we would sit together and break bread. So everyone had to pay, so to speak, their tax, make their contribution. Idna, today, have a ikah chad minan. I saw that there was one person amongst us, the lohavi le rifta. He didn't have any bread. We don't know why, but he didn't have bread. Havi ka mirsaf. And I saw that he was already turning red. He didn't know what to do. They would come around to collect the bread, and he didn't have a piece of bread. Aminalu anna. I told the members of the chabura ka imna vi armine. It's my turn to go around and collect the breads. And kimetanoi gabe, and as I was walking towards this person, I knew he didn't have a bread. Shavi nafshoi kemande shokel mine. I made a movement as if I was taking his bread, but it really was my own bread. Kihechi delo lichsav, so that he wouldn't be embarrassed. Amalei mitzvah avdit, you did a great mitzvah, and in that merit you were saved. Nafik, Shmuel went out. Vidorash, and he interpreted a pasuk in Mishlei, Utsdaka Tatzil Mimoves, that if you do a good deed of charity for someone else, then it will save you from death. And Shmuel says, don't misinterpret it, Lo mi misa mishuna, don't think it means that it'll make your death an easier kind of a death, and it saves you from that cruel death that you were meant to die. Ela mi misa atzma, it'll save you even from death itself, and you'll be able to live. And this is a proof that Ein Mazel be Yisrael. A similar proof we have from a story of Rabbi Akiva Nami. Shein Mazel Yisrael, Rabbi Akiva, Havi Le Brata. People don't realize this, that Rabbi Akiva had a daughter, and they predicted about his daughter, Amri Le Kaldoi, the astrologist predicted, Ahu Yoma Di Aila Le Beg Nona, on the very day of her marriage, Tarek Le Chivya Umesa. She will be bitten by a serpent and she will die. Hava de'iga amilsa tuva. Akiva was very worried about this. And Ahu Yoma, on the day of her chuppah, shkalte, he took limach banta, he took a pin from a golden a jewel that used to be inserted into her hair. That's the beguda. And he penetrated it into a hole in the wall. Isrami, what happened? Esiv b'ene dechivya. When he put this pin into the wall, he pierced through the eyes of a serpent and killed the serpent. Litzafra the next day, kikoshalkale, when she took out her pin for the jewel from the hole in the wall, havakasarech v'asi chivya basra. She saw the dead serpent that was Nisrach. It was for Amalei, Rabbi Akiva said, Avua. She turns to her father, Rabbi Akiva, and she says, Father, my avdit, what did you do to save my life? Just one second. I think, let me get this again. Who's talking to who here? One second. Amalei Rabbi Akiva Avua. Ah! It's the other way around. He said to his daughter, since astrologically you were meant to die, you must have done some zchus, and you were saved. Amalei, she said to her father, Bifanya, last night at the Sudas Nisuin, Asa Anya, a poor person came, Kara Bava, and he was knocking on the door. He was begging for food. Favitride Kulialma Bisudosa. I mean, it's the daughter of Rabbi Akiva. Everybody's busy enjoying the great meal, the banquet of the wedding. Veleka de Shame, nobody paid any attention to him. They didn't even hear his supplication. Ka'imna, I got up. Shakalti, I took Liristanoi. Ristanoi is my portion, the obviously that was given to me. Yahavte Nila. And I gave it to him. Amalah, Rabbi Kiva said to his daughter, Mitzvah Avdis. You did a great mitzvah, and in that schus you were saved. Nofik Rabbi Kiva Dorash, Utstoka Tatsil Mimoves, Velo Mimisa Mishunel, Mimisa Atzma. Umid Rav Nachbar Yitzchak Nami, a third story, to prove that Ein Mazel Yisrael. De Ime, the Rav Nachbar Yitzchak Amrile Kaldoi, the mother was told by the astrologist after she gave birth to Rav Nachman, Brich Ganova Havya, your son will live to be a great thief. Lo Shavkite Giluye Reshe. And his mother was very makpid, and she demanded that he would never walk out without a covering over his head. Never have a bare head. Amro Le, she said to him, Kase Reshech, cover your head, Kihechi. This is the source for the Yalmukah. The Tehevi Allah a Masa Dishmaya. So that there will always be the fear of heaven over you. Ubay Rachme. And she begged from HaKadosh Baruch Hu for God's compassion that the Yetzer Hara will never successfully undermine Rav Nachman's dedication to the fear of heaven. Lo Avi Yoda Amai Ka Amrale. He never really understood Rav Nachman why his mother was so careful and was so full of supplications to God on his behalf. But Yom Echad, but on one particular day, Yosef Kogoris Tusei Dikla, he was studying his Torah and reviewing his lessons under a date palm tree, and it wasn't his. And Nafal Glima Miloye Reshe, and his head covering fell. Dale Ene, he lift up his eyes, Chazal Adikla, and all of a sudden he realized that this Dekel, this tree, was not his. Alme Yitzre, his Yetzara was getting the best of him. Solik, and he started climbing up the Dekel, Paske Lekibure Bishine. And he took his teeth and he actually cut off a cluster of dates with his teeth. In other words, the Gemara wants to demonstrate that the great Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak had within him some sort of a tendency based on the astrological signs that he would become a ganav. But what protected him was the kisei arosh, the fact that he covered his head, and her tefillah, and probably his tefillah as well, and that would be able him to change his mazel. On that particular occasion, his head covering fell from his head, and he no longer had that extra element of Yiras Shamayim, and therefore he was tempted to steal something. And now we start the Mishnah here on Daf Kuf Nun Vav Amud Beis. The next to last Mishnah in the Masechta. The Mishnah now quotes a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about muktzah. The first opinion is that of Rabbi Shimon, who was lenient in muktzah, and he says, "Mechatchin es hadluim, if you already detach these gourds before Shabbos, you're allowed to cut them up lifnei behema, even though with the onset of Shabbos, these dluim, these detached dluim, were designated for human consumption, but nevertheless, he can decide that he wants to change its hachana, its preparation, and use it as animal feed. And then, as an avail, you're allowed to cut up an animal that dies on Shabbos, lifnei klovim, to feed the dogs, even though on Erev Shabbos, as we entered into Shabbos, this was a live animal, it didn't die, and it was designated for Shechita. We're going to eat it for human consumption. So that's the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. As the Gemara is going to point out, Rabbi Shimon has a broader understanding of Hachana, and anything that theoretically could be used on Shabbos is considered Muchan. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. Rabbi Yehuda is Machmir Muks. He says that you need a specific positive Hachana. If the animal was alive on 4 on Erev Shabbos, Asura, when it dies, you're not allowed to pick up the carcass and feed it to a dog, because he didn't prepare it for the feeding of dogs when he went into Shabbos. It was designated for Achilas Adam. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, anything on Ben Hashmashal, so Erev Shabbos, has to be designated not just for Shimush Kol Shehu, for any possible use in the world, but it has to be designated for a specific use. And if it's not designated for that specific use, then it's also betiltel and it's muktza. Itmar, we learned, Amar Ula, halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda. According to Ula, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, who is machmir in muktza, and any object, unless it was specifically designated for that purpose, is muktza. You're not allowed to be metaltel it. V'yaf rav sovra halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda. So we have now Ula and Rav that are machmir in muktza. This has tremendous repercussions if you are machmir in muktza like Rabbi Yehuda. But on the other hand, we're going to soon see that there are other amoraim on the other side of the scale. And mitakarche dezuzi, how do we know that Rav paskins like Rabbi Yehuda in muktza? And the answer is that they had certain kinds of mats, which in Hebrew is called machtzalot, that were designated to cover up the baggage on a boat, meaning all the commodities that they were shipping from place to place, and now he wants to use these mats for his own house. Rav says you're not allowed to be metaltel because these were designated on Erev Shabbos for kisui schora, to cover up the merchandise, and therefore it was muktzah. Shmuel says we pass like Rav Shimon, and you don't have to designate it specifically for that purpose. If, as long as it could be used in theory, he may decide that he wants to use it. And unless he absolutely excludes it, that's called Mukta Midaito. That's the only case in which we'll see that Rav Shimon is Moda, that it's Mukta. But other than that, it's not Mukta. So we have this broad scope or definition of Hachana, according to Rav Shimon, and anything that theoretically could be used. I mean, there's no difference between the mats that are covering the merchandise on the boats and the mats that you use to step on when you enter into your house or any other purpose. And therefore, it's all included under Hachana. So now we have Ula and Rav on one side of the equation, Lechumra, like Rav Yehuda. We have Shmuel on the other side, who paskins like Rav Shimon Lekula. V'af Levi sovra halacha k'Rav Yehuda. But now we have Shmuel as a companion with Levi. Ki hada Levi. And we'll prove it from the following story of Levi. Ki havi maisi treifasa l'kami biyometava. if they shechted an animal on Yontif, and they brought the geshachtana animal to Levi, and they asked them to determine the situation of the inner organs of this animal. Was this animal a trefa? Perhaps it had a puncture in the lungs or something like that. Lo avi chazile. And Levi refused to check out the innards of the animal. Ela ki Yosef akil kalisa. Until he sat himself down right near the rubbish bin. Because if he would find that it was a trefa, he would immediately throw it into the rubbish bin. The Omar, because he would declare, Dilma Lomis Kashra, maybe it'll turn out to be a treif, it's not kosher. Vafilu leklovim lo chazia. And it's not fit for klovim, even for dogs. Just 1 second. Ein ru'iyah, kevish genisa shabbos, so medes lachilas adam. So this is... Oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. So again, let's go back to the drawing board. Let me get the names again. I made one mistake here. Ula and Rav hold like Rav Yehuda Lechumra. Shmuel holds like Rav Shimon, that we pass like Rav Shimon Lekula. Where's Levi? So the Gemara says, Af Levi Savar Alocha Ki Rav Yehuda. He joins together with Ula and Rav to Paskin Lechumra like Rav Yehuda. And therefore... he would not allow, in an event that he found the animal to be a trefa, he would not allow feeding the dead carcass to the dogs, because when we entered into Yontif, we thought that we were going to shecht it and we're going to use it for our Yontif meal, and it wasn't omeid lachilas kelev. Shmuel omar alocha ki Rabbi Shimon. And Afziri Sovar Alocha Kirav Shimon. Oh, now we have a companion to Shmuel, not Levi, my mistake. It's Ziri. Tisnan, we have a Mishnah at the end of Beitzah. The Mishnah says, Behema Shemesov, an animal drops dead on Yontif. Lo Yazinena, Zizena, Mimkomi, and I'll let it move its carcass from one place to the other. And at that point, we would think that this is going, this is a Mishnah that is reflecting the Shita of Yehuda of Muktzah, but comes along Zahiri and he says, Tirgamo, I want to reinterpret this Mishnah, Bebehemas Kodshim. So you had an animal that was designated as Hegdesh, which makes it Aser Badno, and therefore you're not allowed to feed it to a dog. And therefore, when this Hegdesh dies, then clearly it wasn't fit for anything whatsoever. Avol behemas chulin, a regular, non-consecrated animal, is shapir dami, you're allowed to feed it to the dogs. V'yaf Rabbi Yochanan halacha k'Rav Shimon. So the Gemara now lines up Shmuel together with Zairi and Rabbi Yochanan. And that's a pretty, all-star lineup. So Gemara asks, Umi omar Rabbi Yochanan hachi, v'omar Rabbi Yochanan halacha k'stam mishnah. And Rabbi Yochanan Paskins like a Stam Mishnah when it's anonymous Mishnah. And we have an anonymous Mishnah that reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda at the end of Masechta Beitzah. So Snan, and here we turn to the Daf Kuf Nun Zayin, Ein Mevakim Eitzim Min HaKoros. If, let's say, a branch falls down on Yontif from a tree, the Mishnah says, we're not allowed to cut up the branch and use it as logs. And the reason for that is because we had assumed that these trees would be used for building purposes. The Lomina Korish and Ishbra Yontif. Well, let's say the ceiling breaks down on Yontif, and now you have beams of wood that are no longer holding up the ceiling, but now you want to use them for firewood, which normally would be mutter, except the Mishnah says that since in Bein HaShemashos entering into Yontif, these koros were designated for binyan, for the building, therefore the koros have the status of muktzah, even though now I want to use it for firewood, which is okay normally on Yontif. The answer is that Mishnah must be reflecting the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that when a person designates an object going into Yontif for a certain purpose, he's not allowed to use it for another purpose. That's Rabbi Yehuda's Chumrah in Mukta. So how is it possible that Rabbi Yochanan would paskin like Rabbi Shimon, where we have a Stam Mishnah that reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda? So Gemara answers, Rabbi Yochanan will say that Ahu ki Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda Masni le. In other words, that's not a Stam Mishnah. There's one version of the Mishnah that attributes that statement of Ein Mevakim Eitzim and Akoros B'Yontif to a specific Tana, to Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore it's not a Stam Mishnah. If it's not a Stam Mishnah, we don't have to paskin like that Mishnah. Okay, Rabbosai, so we'll stop here on the top of Kuf Nun Zion, and Ritz Shem tomorrow, Bli Neder, will finish Masechta Shabbos.